Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we need you. We need your power. We need your Spirit to show us understanding and what your word is trying to teach us. May you use this word to benefit our lives, and so that we can be closer drawn to you. When your Holy Spirit reprove, rebuke, and exhort where needed. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we think of this verse, we need to understand some particulars about this offering of praise. I've already preached enough on by him, therefore, through his sacrifice, through his blood, through his covenant, that he has given to us because of his love for us and the ability through his love to be the purchase redeemer of us who are fallen in sin. He paid the purchase price for our sins so that God could be just and also justify us. When looking at that, we need to understand that there is this sacrifice of praise to God continually through the products that our speech gives forth to the very character of God. When you see the phrase that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, what this is saying is our speech, understanding God's character, can't but help uplift God. And that's a sacrifice for those that are in Jesus Christ to be able, follow me, to give this sacrifice of praise that is well-pleasing to God. So the phrase, sacrifice of praise to God, has ties to the Levitical foundations. So we see in Leviticus chapter 7, Leviticus chapter number 7. In Leviticus chapter number 7, verses 11 through 18, we see three types of peace offerings. First, in verse 12, we know the peace offering is motivated by thanksgiving. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, verse 12 of Leviticus chapter 7, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour. Of course, all of these have pictures. When we're reading this, when we're understanding this, all of these have pictures back to a character of God. The unleavened bread, of course, sees and helps us to see that there is no sin. The second thing is the oil represents the Spirit of God. The fine flour represents the character of God. And as we read this and we understand this, the priests are to offer this, and the people are to give this to the priest to offer because they're thankful for what God has given to them. So therefore, Christians, because they are in Christ, and because they are in union with Christ, and because they are able to take what Christ gives to them and apply it to their lives, they are also to offer thanksgiving to God. For the peace offering motivated by a promise, we need to look at Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 16. But if the sacrifice of the offering be a vow, a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth. His sacrifice, and on the morrow also, the remainder of it shall be eaten. So William MacDonald explains the purpose of the offering in this way is in fulfillment of a promise or pledge made to God for the granting of some special request in prayer, for example, preservation on a hazardous journey. So they would come and they would offer these sacrifices to give a vow to God because they understood his need for their daily activity in life. All right? So we also, since Hebrews has such a strong tie to the Old Testament, we also need to make these offerings. Now, I'm not saying bake a cake to the Lord. I'm saying pray and see God in your prayer life change you through his power. And when you do that in your prayer life and also in your Bible study, in your Bible reading, when you do that, you start to understand the power of God and him changing you. Then the third motivation for the peace offering is voluntary, verse 16 through 17. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. So William MacDonald explains, this would appear to be in the nature of spontaneous expressions of praise to God and appreciation of what he has revealed himself to be to us. So we as Christians, through Christ, through what Christ has supplied, can go through any time or trial in our life, and there should be times of spontaneous praise to God for who he is. Is that happening in your life? You say, well, my life's really messed up. Well, God still deserves our praise because he has a purpose for what he allows in our lives. When we think about this, we see in Leviticus chapter 3, the peace offering was a sacrificial animal. But in Leviticus chapter 7, we learn the particular cakes of bread were to accompany. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12 and 13 tells us how these breads were to be made. If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with a sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil and fine flour fried. That sounds good, fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. So we see that there's this particular way for the different types of praises to God, what that should look like. And if you're in thanksgiving, leaven also represents a total takeover of something. And the Christian life should be totally taken over by thanksgiving to God. We should be thankful for what God has done in our lives, and it should flow out of us in praise to God. This is very important that we realize that we are not to be a complaining people, but we are to be a thankful people in whatever God allows in our life, because it is God who is in control, not man. Besides the cakes, he shall offer this leavened bread with thanksgiving. Now, Eaton's Bible Dictionary explains that oftentimes these were called as heave offerings. Heave offerings means simply an offering, a present, including all the offerings made by Israel as a present to God. This Hebrew word is frequently employed. Some of the rabbis attached it to the word, the meaning of elevation, and refers to it to the heave offering, which consisted in presenting the offering by movement up and down, distinguished for the wave offering, which consisted of repeating motion in a horizontal direction. A wave offering, and this is the part I want us to point in, on a wave offering to the Lord as ruler of the earth. A heave offering to the Lord as the ruler of heaven. The right shoulder which fell to the priest in presenting thanks offerings was called the heave shoulder. The first fruits offered in harvest times were heave offerings. What is this showing? So there was different ways that they would present and wave their arms up and down to the Lord. And what are they showing? Well, they're showing that God is ruler. And all good things that come to them are from God as being the ruler. And they're saying the crops that we bring in, God is to receive thanks for that because he is the ruler. You know why we complain? We complain as Christians because we really don't trust God as our ruler. We don't really trust God as our provider. If we are always complaining and we're always saying how bad it is for it is to live life and we're never thankful, it's because we have a problem with God. But through Christ. Now, let me stop here and also identify something. There are some people that have different personalities. Some personalities see the good in everything, right? They just, everything can be falling apart and they're just seeing the good in everything. Sometimes they're not realistic to the environment that they're in, right? And sometimes being around those people can be a little bit crazy, can it? It can usually like open your eyes and be realistic to where we're living. Unsaved people can have that personality, but in order for it to be accepted by God, what did we establish in Hebrews 13, verse 15? It has to be through who? It has to be through Christ. So the power of positive thinking is not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about it here is a peace in the middle of whatever we're going through, being realistic in our situations, but also understanding God's power and God's provision because we are God's children. And when we understand that, we are able to go through trials and sing forth praise to God's name. So as we think of this, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and 15, we read this. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise of God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Through Christ, we realize we can sometimes be thankful. That's what continually means, right? Sometimes be thankful. Only on those really bad days we can't be thankful. No, continually means always. Continuing. It's an action that is supposed to, you know what? When I wake up early in the morning and I don't have a good night's sleep and I'm not feeling well, that's the time that God doesn't expect me to be thankful if I'm one of his children. Now, we all laugh at that, but don't we live that way sometimes? How many of you have ever became hangry? You're hungry, and that makes you angry. It's called hangry. Uh-huh. All the husbands are looking at their wives right now. Very nice. Hangry. What? Is that acceptable for a Christian? Now, let's be real, Christian. I'm not saying that we don't do this. I'm saying we should repent of it when we do it. We should ask God for forgiveness when we're like this. And we shouldn't be making excuses. God, look, we've been preaching specifically about what we have provided to us through Christ Jesus, right? And though we live in this body of flesh that has its desires, and though we are very weak in this flesh, God expects things out of us, and we need to repent and turn and trust God to provide the power to do what he says. Life is so much more fulfilling, Christian, when you live up through the power of God to his expectations. How many like to be around grumbling, complaining people? It's fun, isn't it? When I'm grumbling, complaining, I don't even like to be around myself. All right? Why are we able to be always thankful? Because as a Christian, we understand that God is the ruler of the universe because he is the creator. Therefore, we know that God needs to be lifted in praise because he is constantly not just there, but intending to love and draw man to a better understanding of who he is in character through what he allows in their life. Let's take just one example from the Old Testament to help us understand this ever-present God. Now, some of my teens were taught this on Thursday night, but I thought it fit so well with what I was preaching that I had to put it in. When looking at Pharaoh, Moses, and the children of Israel, we know this situation didn't shock God. How do we know this? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 15. We know it because of his character, but also because 4 centuries earlier, he gave a promise to Abraham about what his progeny, or who would come forth from Abraham, would have to go through, what the Israelites would have to suffer through. And in Genesis chapter number 15, verses 13 through 16, we read this. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt be to thy fathers and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. So we're seeing this awesome promise. We can praise God for allowing trials into our lives because sometimes he will enable some to come to him by holding the completion of his judgment back from them. Why didn't God completely allow Israel and Abraham to go into the land of promise? Because the Amorites' iniquities were not full. And yes, judgment was coming onto them previously. And judgment is coming onto Canada. And judgment is coming onto the United States. But we can be thankful in the midst of seeing God's judgment fall by giving man away to their own desires, as we see so clearly in our culture. We can give thanks to God because God has his remnant of people that he wants to draw to himself before final judgment comes. And Christian, if we were busy about others and witnessing to others, we wouldn't be complaining so much about how everything is so expensive. And we wouldn't be worrying about all of the stuff that we're gathering being lost because God has some souls that he wants to save. We'd be busy about the things of God. And when becoming busy about the things of God, do you know what happens to your inner man? It rejoices in Christ. Are you busy gathering stuff that's going to perish? Or are you busy about eternal souls and seeing them won to Christ? So, he's holding back the completion of his judgment. Therefore, in the process of the Creator working out his will and how it perfectly fits within his whole character. We praise the Lord for all he allows. We trust him to draw some of the rebellious to himself through the period of his grace before final judgment falls. Not very happy about interest rates going up double, are you? Especially with my loan on my house coming up. But guess what's going to pass away one day? My home. Guess what's not going to pass away one day? My neighbors. They have an eternal soul that needs saved by the grace of God. And I am so glad. I went to the States last week and they said, oh, it's just so terrible in Canada. How are you living up there? All your... Because it's not necessarily all about my freedoms. It's about seeing souls won to Christ. And I love being in the center of where God called me so that we can work to see God save some souls. But we're so concerned about our wealth. Look, there's nothing wrong with making money to take care of your responsibilities. You should. And we live in Canada, so there's an expectation of how we're to live, right? And how we're to take care of our families. I hear some people talk about, you know, third worlds, and they're just content with shacks to live in. Well, that's fine. We live in Canada. If I lived in a shack, you know what everybody around Canada would think? That guy's not taking care of his family, and they would want to have nothing to do with my God, right? So we live up, and we are good testimonies with what God has given us. But let me ask you a question, Canadian. Talking to myself because I'm a Canadian too. Would we be okay and happy living in a shack? Or would we complain? Through Christ, you can offer praise no matter what the situation. And it's expected of you to do so. We trust him to draw some of the rebellious to himself through the period of his mercy before final judgment calls. Amid the trial, God was with Israel preparing a redeemer for them. Pharaoh, he's the picture of the... and depicts Satan, who enslaves, robs, and destroys and kills. Israel is a slave of those, are those the picture of every person, culture, and tribe that is enslaved to Satan. Moses is the picture of God's promised deliverer from Genesis 3:15. God promised Satan of a coming deliverer who would crush him. This sent Satan off on a rampage to destroy the deliverer. And Satan zeroed in on Israel once he learned that the deliverer would descend from Abraham. So he used a powerful king to destroy Israel and prevent the deliverer's arrival. But God still sent the deliverer. Amen? So everything can be in chaos because Satan's the author of chaos. And everything can feel like it's falling apart, but God has a deliverer that he's promised to us. And God has a promise that Satan can't stop. So what should we do in the middle of all of this? Rejoice and be filled with joy because God is so good. Satan hates God. So we go through trials because Satan attacks God and we're made in the image of God. Satan hates us, but God's power is sufficient. So we rejoice because he has control over the situation and will show us his power when we're in the middle of great trials. I am looking forward in this last day to see God show his power to Bethel Baptist Church, aren't you? To show his power to me so that we can shout forth praise to his name. Through the plagues, God revealed to Israel and to Egypt and to the world's nation that he is the true God. You know what trials do? They identify to Christians where we're putting our trust. Doesn't Matthew chapter 6 say, where our heart and treasure is, there will our heart be also? So you know, when you lose that money, and when you have to pay triple from what you had to pay 4 years ago for food, and it constantly makes you put you in a bad mood, and you're complaining about it, and that's all you can do, you know what your God, what God is allowing through the trial to reveal to you? Comfort is your God. Money is your God. And God, through His grace, brings trials into your life to pull down those false gods in your life so you can only look to Him. How are we doing in the trial? God has a purpose for the trial. Israel, God had come to rescue them. Pharaoh, God was drawing to himself by showing that He was the only true God. Egypt, God wanted them to worship Him instead of their false gods. The nation, God showed His power and declared His name through the earth. So how can we continually give God the praise amidst trials? Because we understand His character. We understand that He has a purpose. We understand that He's the all-powerful, all-knowing ruler of the universe, and that He does everything perfectly in what He allows in our lives. When we live through Christ, we realize that God is in control. We can give Him the proper sacrifice through a living sacrifice of praise, continually giving thanks with our mouth to His name and to His character. We are to confess that God is worthy of praise continually, to give Him honor for what He allows in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 13, we see the phrase, giving thanks to His name. Spiros Zodiati explains the name of God, of the Lord, of Christ, as an expression for God Himself. Christ Himself in all their being, attributes, relationships, and manifestations of themselves and who they are. So I want to go to one last verse and then we'll close. Psalms. Psalms chapter number 8. Verse 3. And those that I've given handouts to, I did not get this verse in. I looked at this morning, so I couldn't add it to my notes. I'm sorry about that. Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3. Here in Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 through 6, we read, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Now last night, and I'm going to open this up, we have a meeting with men, a few men, to be accountable and to love each other and to push for purity and right thinking. And in about 8 weeks, we're going to open up to any man in the church that would like to become involved with that. Please, we'll have a sign-up sheet in about 4 weeks, and we'll get you everything you need if you'd like to be a part of that. It starts at 6 and usually is done by 7. But as we look at this on Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., as we look at this, with the sermon that we listened to last night, he was explaining the speed of light, which is really fast. Is it 1,800 miles per second? 186,000 miles per second. Okay? In 1 second, it can go around the world 7.5 times. It takes it 1.5 seconds to go from Earth to the moon. It takes 8 minutes to go to the sun. The sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth, right? Wrong one, Mr. Ron. I'm getting to that, okay? It's 93 million miles away from the Earth. So light traveling at 1,600 miles per second takes 8.5 minutes for light from the Earth to get to the sun, which is 93 million miles away. He pulled up one galaxy called Whirlpool Galaxy. Do you know how many years it takes light to travel from the Earth to this Whirlpool Galaxy, or from the Whirlpool Galaxy to the Earth? 30 million light years. And do you know how Genesis explains God creating the stars? As an afterthought. Yeah. And he created the stars also in Genesis chapter 1. Consider the heavens. Consider that Mount Everest is 5.5 miles high, and the Mariana Trench in its deepest part is 7.7 miles deep. Consider that. How did he do that? He spoke it. Now, some of you workers know that little rocks can cause big problems to jobs, right? But God just speaks things into existence. Can you imagine how long it would take us to make a 5.5 mile high mountain? Could you imagine how long it would take us to dig 7.5 miles deep into the earth? God spoke it. His power is unfathomable, which is a big fancy word to mean we can't comprehend it, okay? It's above us. The work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. So here is one aspect that we can think of God. He's awesome. How can we praise God? Because he's awesome in his power. Why else can we praise God? Because he's awesome in his grace and mercy. Look at the next verse. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For he hath made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Think about that. Here's this all-powerful God that spoke galaxies, and that's not even the farthest galaxy from us. 30 million light years away from Earth, he spoke it into existence. Yet, what does he do? His love and mercy, his character is so great that he's mindful of us. He's in, not just ever-present, but he's ever concerned to draw us to himself because of his love and his mercy. That's his character. And in Christ, you know that his righteousness has been satisfied through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are his children. And everything he allows in our life is for a purpose. So we must give him praise. Are you offering Christ praise? Praise.